just good to be with you. It's an encouragement. It's funny, isn't it? Because I feel like it's an encouragement to me to be here. Even though that I'm come with the word, I'm already got something by being here. And really what that is it's passion. And it's passion when it's genuine and in your heart and you love God. Regardless of where you are, the location, what size of place you're in. And that touches, when you have that hunger inside you, then when you see it in someone else, it touches you. And so that's already happened a number of times today in the prayer time, in that exercise of faith, to believe for healing beyond what your human imagination can believe for. And also just then in the sharing in around the table as well, just that, you know, this is something you can't manufacture. It's either alive in you or it's not. And so when it is, it's just beautiful. It's attractive, you know. And so I'm just encouraged by those few things. So it's good to be here again. And recently in our church, we've been dealing with the gift of salvation. And but today I'm wanting to deal with the gift of the Holy Spirit, but in doing that, and in particular the baptism of the Holy Spirit, of course, today being Pentecost Sunday, what else could you possibly deal with on this day? But I want to touch on, before we get to that, I do want to touch on the gift of God in salvation, you know, but anything to do with the Holy Spirit is, can only be described as exciting and powerful. Not always noisy. You know, sometimes we're in settings where we encounter the Spirit of God, and there was a few moments here today where it just becomes quite loud. But, and that's good, but it's not always, it doesn't always have to be like that. We can encounter the power of the Holy Spirit even in the stillness of the presence of God. And you know, I think that as Christians, as followers of Christ, when we lose sight of the importance of the Holy Spirit, it can quite simply result in a loss of the power in our lives and the work of God. But I just said that I wanted to just say a couple of things about the gift of God first, and then the gift of the Holy Spirit. And first of all, just to go to Romans 6, verse 20 to 23. Romans 6, 20 to 23 says this. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. That's a dangerous place to be in. Under no obligation to God. When you're running free from being filled with the Spirit of God and saved, and in relationship with God. Verse 21 of Romans 6. And what was the result? You were ashamed. You are now ashamed of the things you used to do. Things that end in eternal doom. That's a sobering thought. Eternal doom. It's hard to think that sometimes you come across verses and you think, is that really what the Bible's words is using? But it talks of eternal doom. Verse 22. But now, you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. And this is a verse in 23 that we're familiar with, but this is the context in which it is. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We are either slaves to sin or slaves of God. You know, slavery was such a big thing, even in our nation and nations across the world. And it resulted in somebody completely being your master. And you being enslaved to that person in where you could go, where you couldn't go, what you could do, what you couldn't do. But thank God that in Christ, we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are slaves of God. But being slaves of God results in freedom. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. It sounds almost a paradox. And yet the freedom in Christ, it's a slavery that's a freedom. It just seems to make no sense. And yet being a slave to God produces holiness and obedience and great fruit in our lives. But it's the gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God. Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So God is a giver of gifts. In Ephesians 4 verse 7 it says this, however, he has given each of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. So God's a gift-giving God. It's his nature to give everything of himself. At the cross, the place that we've just remembered this afternoon, God gave the greatest gift of all. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, his one and only Son, the most precious gift of all. God emptied himself and gave us the gift of his Son. Micah 7, and you needn't turn all these, but you can write them down. Micah 7 in the Old Testament, verses 19 and 20 says this, once again you will have compassion on us, thinking of God as the gift-giving God. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. The ocean, in parts, is so deep that it's almost impossible to get to the bottom of the ocean. But he has trampled our sins under his feet and thrown them into the depths of the ocean. Micah 7 verse 20 says, you will show us your faithfulness and unfailing love as you promised our ancestors Abraham and Jacob long ago. Thank God this afternoon that the God we serve is a God vast in mercy, vast in forgiveness, and filled with faithfulness and unfailing love. We serve an awesome and vast gift-giving God. The gift of salvation and eternal life is ours today. And our sins are thrown into the depths of the ocean. But thank God that the story's still not over. There's even more for us today in God. And so we're not only thinking of the gift of salvation, but also the incredible gift of the Holy Spirit. Today we've already known that today is Pentecost Sunday. For the Jews, this was and is a historic festival celebrating the giving of the law to Moses on Sinai. For us Christians, saved by the grace of God, Pentecost marks the birth of the church through the gift of the Holy Spirit being poured out. So God is not only the giver of the gift of salvation, but he's the giver of the promise through Jesus Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit. It goes without saying, really, that the gift of the Holy Spirit for us is absolutely vital as followers of Christ. Jesus speaking to his disciples following his death and resurrection, and just prior to his return to heaven, says this in Luke 24 verse 49, and now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. And Luke also writing in Acts chapter 1 verses 4 and 5 says this, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but just in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, who Jesus is talking to and what he's saying is really important. Jesus is talking to his followers, to his disciples. He's talking to people who know him already personally. They've spent years with him. They've seen him die. They've seen him raised from the dead. And they are his followers. The Holy Spirit has already been at work in their hearts to show them who Jesus really is. Yet he's telling them, wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. It seems as though, Jesus, are you confused? But no, he already has worked in them to cause them to come to be his followers and disciples. John baptized in water, that's a baptism of repentance. But Jesus says, I will baptize you with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Father's promised gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, if Jesus wants to give a gift, especially the gift of the Holy Spirit, to us as followers, then it seems to me to be reasonable to want to fully accept the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, there was a time for all of us, I'm sure in this room, when we came to Christ and we became a slave of God instead of a slave to sin. And our eternal destination changed from an eternity of doom to an eternity with Christ. And here's something very important. That could not and would not have happened without the work of the Holy Spirit already in our lives, drawing us to Christ. If we were to go around the room, there would be more than one story talking about the journey to coming to faith, to coming to know Christ as Savior. That it wasn't the process of a few thoughts and the winning of an argument, but it was the work of the Holy Spirit in us already bringing us to Christ. John 3 verse 5 says this, Jesus speaking, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven without being born of water and the Spirit. Titus 3 verses 4 and 5 says this, but when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit has already been at work in our lives to bring us to himself. A man called David Petz, an Assemblies of God Bible teacher, and I think at one time possibly a principal of the Bible College, says this, at regeneration, that's coming to Christ, we are born into God's family and become his sons. At the baptism of the Spirit, we are equipped for service. So we're followers of Christ and we're disciples of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's incredible to watch someone who you've seen come to Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. But even more exciting, but equally exciting is when a person encounters the filling, the gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the first time and is overwhelmed with a sense of God. It's incredible. It's an equipping to live for Christ in every context and then in which we walk and live, in every community in which we find ourselves. If we were to read through Acts, an incredible book, we would find that the gift of the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, said in many different ways. It's called being baptized in the Holy Spirit, receiving a promise, receiving a gift, receiving power to be witnesses, being filled with the Holy Spirit, having the Spirit come on you, having the Spirit fall on you, being poured out on you. I remember in our house at Holly Avenue that my mom and dad used to have the odd occasional prayer meeting, or maybe had them more regular. But I remember that there were people in those times who encountered being filled with the Spirit for the first time. And I remember, and you'll remember some names as well from Beshandis, of people like Ned Taylor and others. And I remember Monday night prayer meetings in the old Beshan near the flats at Westgate Hill, where being filled with the Spirit was just something we did. That if we came to Christ and encountered Christ, it was who was getting baptized in water first, and then when was the meeting to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And so it was like as a child learning to walk, that those things were just taught almost naturally for us to do. Now, it's keeping that. It's keeping that momentum. It's keeping that alive in the Spirit that I want to get to a little bit in a moment or two. But do I really need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, I think that we've already dealt with that in the command of Jesus to his disciples to wait and be filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so do I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, I think don't leave home without being filled with the Spirit. What do I have to do to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Is there something that I have to do to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, in Acts 2:38, Peter says this: each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So before we can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, there must be repentance. There's got to be a turning to Christ, a turning around. Generally, in our case, most of us as youngsters were baptized in water before we encountered being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in most cases in Acts, that's what happens, but not in every case. In at least one case or more, people were baptized in the Holy Spirit when they came to Christ. And so it's not as if it's an exact set in stone. You know, if we get saved and we're hungry to be filled with God, God can just baptize us there at that very moment. But there must be repentance and a turning to Christ. And I know that I'm really telling you stuff that you already know. But it's good to be reminded of why we are who we are. Because we love Christ. And we're followers of Christ, and we want to be obedient to Him, but we want to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit every day in our lives. In answer to our third question, which was, what happens when I am baptized? Well, Acts 1:8 says this: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So baptism in water shows the outward sign of repentance. We are turning to Christ, and that we've accepted the gift of God, the gift of salvation. But being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit fills us with the mighty power of God. But what's it for? Why be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, of course, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be empowered to be witnesses for Christ. There's not a context that I would say that I would want to be in, or a place that I would want to follow Christ, unless I was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to carry Christ into those places. We haven't said too much about that God gives us an incredible heavenly language that we've shed in this place today as part of our worship and as part of seeing God speaking to us. But you know, the Holy Spirit is given for us to see Christ empowered in our lives for to make him known to people who do not know him. You know, when we're baptized in water, we get pretty wet. We get fully immersed. We don't stand on the side of the tank with a big toe wiggling about on one side and thinking, well, can I just put my foot in? Can I just go up to my knees? I'm in the water. Can I just go up to my waist? No, we're actually taken fully into the water and we are fully immersed under the water and we are completely soaked and covered. So what happens when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, we are, the word means to be just overwhelmed and immersed in God and completely filled with who he is. But let's just quickly read what happened to, remind ourselves of what happened to the church in Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. It says this, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So it's the day of Pentecost, and all the people who have made Christ Lord or his followers, disciples, are having a meeting together. There's a physical wind. So as they sat there, something begins to happen in the room in which they are sat. And then what looks like fire settles on each believer in the place. Now it must have been there because it was recorded. And so they could see actually the fire of God resting on the heads of the other people in the room. It seems almost unbelievable to know, to see that that was happening. But God was resting on every single person in the room that was a follower of Christ. And they are baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in languages that they have never learned. You know, I thought about this, that, you know, you spend so much money, don't you, on languages in night classes and sometimes they're not very successful or some people. But here, in the Holy Spirit coming on people, they just wells up from inside this ability to begin to communicate and to encounter God in a language that has never, ever been learned. Whilst the emphasis is on the power of the Holy Spirit to make Christ known, there is something in God that is great about worshiping God in the power of the Spirit. It is, the Bible says that it brings edification to do that. But you know, it's just a wonderful thing just driving in the car. You know, in these days of hands-free, you can, your mouth can go now without anybody thinking that you're strange. Because when you come up with traffic lights, you often look at other cars and there's people are going. And so you know they've got hands free. But the car's a great place in which just to praise God and communicate with God, even in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the disciples are speaking all of these languages that God is giving them. And people who aren't from the area, who aren't followers of Christ, are understanding and hearing the things of God spoken on that day. I was recently, I don't know if anybody of you do know David Petz, or heard of David Petz, the speaker of Assemblies of God Bible College, but he was speaking about, you know, is the language that you speak in always a language from somewhere else that someone else will recognize? And he said in one meeting he was speaking, and he said, maybe yes, maybe no. But in one meeting he was speaking, and in the middle of the message he said, you know, I'm just going to speak in my heavenly language to say, you know, God is within me, and I find that I can speak in this language whenever I want to. And in the middle of his service, of his message, he just stopped and started to speak to God. And he just started to speak in a heavenly language and then stopped and carried on with his preaching. At the end of the service, a Romani gypsy came to him and said, I just need to tell you that you spoke to me in my language in the middle of your message. And he said, really? And what did I say? Or what did God say? And she says, well, I've been walking with Christ and I have been struggling to be free from the slavery to cigarette smoking. And in the middle of your message, you said, today is the day that you need to relinquish your slavery to cigarette smoking. And he had no idea what he said. Now, if you knew this man, you would know that he's a man of very strong character. And so I have no reason to doubt what he was saying. But that doesn't happen all the time. Often we will never know just what we say to God as we worship. But the disciples are worshipping and filled with God, the 120. And at the end of the day, 3,000 people come to Christ and are baptized in water. And it doesn't say, but I've got no doubt that they go on to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I can't see any reason why in that day that wouldn't happen with them. Now, if I was to stand at the door of this room and on your way out today I was to offer you £100,000 in beautifully packed bags of notes and said, that's just a gift and I would like you to have it as you leave, then I think once you had established that it wasn't from the Hatton Garden robbery or something alike, and I could assure you that it was all kosher, then you would probably accept it. As long as you felt, I'll accept that. Just think what I can do with it. Yet the promised gift of God poured out through Jesus Christ in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God at work in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is freely poured out on us by Jesus. It's the incredible powerhouse of heaven. You know, we might see things in Africa. We might know of things that are happening in this big church and that big church. But the power of the Holy Spirit is free and available to us here and now. And today I have to tell you that already in this church, the Holy Spirit was at work. And evidently here. Evidently here because of the passion and the unction, there's an old word, that it was coming up from inside of people who knew God, who knew him in the power of the Holy, who know him in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's an encouragement to be here. Because you can be in settings bigger than this. You can be in manufactured settings. But even when you're in the smallest place where the Holy Spirit is welcome, then that is, that's plugging into heaven. That's like going from 9 volts to an entire power station because God is here. And so today, I'm pretty sure we'll have encountered the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it's never too late. And if that's not been the case, then today is a great day to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, will this room be filled with a mighty and powerful wind? Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. Will you have fire on your head? Well, I've said this before. I would put nothing past God. But we probably won't see physical fire. But when God fills us with the power of the Holy Spirit, there is fire in our hearts. And it's the fire then that burns up the things that will grieve the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit establishes so much more of God that the fire of God burns up the things that need to go. Reinhard Bonnke has wrote a small book with a really bright cover. It's only little. but it's an explosive book called The Holy Spirit Baptism. And he says this, we live in a spiritually dark and cold world. The best way not to freeze is to be aglow with the Holy Spirit. God will light a fire on the altar of your own heart so that you can be a fire lighter. And Reinhard adds a warning. He says, warm others, but don't depend on others to warm you. And that's where he stopped. But I would say, be filled with the Spirit of God. Some people have questioned whether the Holy Spirit's for today. And we'll come to that in a moment. But listen to what Peter says in Acts 2:38, verse 39. He says, each of you must repent of your sins. We've read that. Turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But listen to this. And this is what was said here earlier. This promise is for you, for your children, and for those far away, for all who have been called by the Lord our God. Far away, one translation says far off, as if it's in distance in time to come. We are far off from that time, but we are people, Gentiles, who have been called to the Lord our God. We're called to God. So I want to say today, once you and I were far off, but we have been called by the Lord our God to serve him. And as such, for today, for the now, we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So today, if by chance you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, never known what it's like to explode out in words that you've never understood, today is a great time. But just as I really come to a close, I just want to say something about keeping filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to add just a note of guidance, of warning, of encouragement about being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, once we've received the Holy Spirit in baptism, the Bible makes it clear that it's our responsibility for maintaining being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 5 verse 18 says this, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an ongoing thing. 2 Timothy 1 verses 6 and 7, Paul speaking to Timothy says this, this is why I remind you, fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, of love, and one translation says, and a sound mind. This one says, self-discipline. Fan into flame what God's put inside you. Although he's speaking to Timothy, there's still that warning there for all of us. Fan into flame what God's put in you. Don't let it go out. Do you remember the billows, those, not the sea billows roll, but those things, bellows, whatever you call them. And they, you know, you got the fire going, and fan into flame. Someone else said, stir it up. Stir up what God's put in you. Don't lose the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know something? It is possible to do it. It's possible to lose that connection, just, you know, with things, stuff, things that get in the way. But thank God we can come back again, and we can get in right relationship with God, and we can be filled with God again. In Revelation 2 verse 4 and 5, Jesus speaking to the church at Ephesus says this, oh, I've got this complaint against you. You don't love me as much as and each other as you did at first. Look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. You know, he's not talking there directly about the Holy Spirit, but he's encouraging the church. Get back to what you need to get back to. Get back to being, you know, in right relationship with the things that caused us to have passion for God. When it comes to being filled with the Holy Spirit, I wonder if there's anything today that we need just to address and give attention to. Is experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit something that doesn't feel like it's been part of our walk with Christ for some time? Is it a memory? Is the power of the Holy Spirit we think of as something that we see on a television screen or happening somewhere else? Well, today, I want to encourage us to once again pursue God. Let that hunger rise for God again. Let us seek to be filled again with the power of the Holy Spirit. I once read a great book called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. It's a great book of a story of a church that really, and a couple that seemed to just almost were going to just give it all up. And there came that just something fresh from God. Not something that we had to run somewhere to get a bit of and what have you, but just a fresh, something fresh in God, a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 8 says this about living in the Spirit. It says, Romans 8 verse 9, you're not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you are made right with God. The Spirit of God, there's a song that we sing, the same power that conquered the grave lives in me. And this verse says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Of course, we know that we have the Spirit of God living and working in us through conversion. But believe me, there is more in God by the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I wonder today, have you not known this for the first time? Today is a great time. If you're walking with Christ and you're seeking Him, then today I want to encourage you again to continue to be being filled with who God is, with the power of the Spirit of God. And has the fire gone out at all? Do you want that fanned in the flame again? Then today is a great day for that to happen. Let's just pray for a moment, and then I'll hand back just to Tony or John. God, to stand in this place and to handle your word is an awesome responsibility. And I thank you, God, for this place. Today, God, I know that your Spirit is at work in this place. And I know that you are welcome in this place. God, today I thank you for every person here. And I ask that you would increase the power of the Spirit of God in each life, in every seat in this place today. I pray, God, there would be even greater ability to live Christ-centered and empowered lives. I pray that, God, every person within this church here would know greater wisdom in the power of the Spirit of God. I pray that every person in this church would know greater discernment in the power of the Spirit of God. I pray that people in this place would know greater ability to share Christ and to make Christ known, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the community, whether it's in activities here. But God, I pray that in this place, you would increase in the power of the Holy Spirit. God, thank you that you chose to give the Holy Spirit to us also, that we weren't left out, but we can also be filled with who you are. And so today, God, I just thank you for a place where you are free to do what you wish to do. I thank you for a place where you are free to speak into this place. I thank you for passionate people who love you and whose desire is for you to be centered and to be made known. And so God, today I commit this place, but I ask also God for myself that you will fall in a fresh way on my life, on the lives of each of us here, God. And I'm just going to hand back to one of the guys here, and I know that there's a song that we'll have of just asking, you know, for us to be surrendered to God again, to be just for His Spirit to be at work in us.